Welcome to Don't Talk to Strangers, a true crime podcast. We are your hosts, Hannah Elizabeth
and Kate Mitchell. This is a place where you can find true crime tales, morbid mysteries and all things spooky.
We are two Scousers with a true crime and red wine passion. Expect wine reviews, Scouse banter and much more.
Our podcast does include graphic content and explicit language. Discretion is advised.
So grab a bevy, it's about to get heavy.
So I'm Hannah Elizabeth.
And I'm Kate Mitchell.
And welcome to Don't Talk to Strangers.
Yes.
All in one. All in one, and we are back.
We are.
Finally. We said this last time.
Mm. I want to apologise on behalf of Hannah Owens. Sorry, Hannah Elizabeth over there. She was the one on the last episode said, I'll get this research done. I promise to use in 2 weeks. And about 2 months has passed.
Do you know what? I did. And I've been dying to finish this Fred and Rose. But yeah, I've just been so chuffed. Obviously, I'm out my house, moving house, everything's up the wall. I've been actually filming for something dead exciting, Kate.
That is true. I can't wait.
Yeah, I've been filming different things.
Yes,
I'm excited. So I've just been dead busy with the baby, moving, everything like that. So, but this has always been something that obviously I want to stick with. I want to get it out there.
We've said this time and time again, like this actually has our hearts.
It really does.
Sound, like we love doing it. And we also like love the fact that yous love doing it as well. Not doing it, but listening.
Yeah.
And we do want to stick to this. So we're now trying to establish a routine and get back into it. And here we are.
Yeah, it's quite sad because obviously I did start one of like the biggest,
I know,
you know,
what a cliffhanger. Biggest case in the UK. Yeah, it is in the UK.
The biggest case, Fred and Rose, and then I just left us. Left us.
Sorry. And then I'm going to get off now.
There is so much to this case. It's just every time I even research it, even though I've done, you know, my whole life been interested in true crime, even though I've seen every documentary under the sun, every time I even read research on it, it shocks me. Floors me.
Yeah, no, I can imagine.
Is there even a case like this?
No. Like, there will be in the world, but definitely not in the UK.
Wow.
Well, actually, I don't even know in the world. Like, I don't know. I mean, we'll probably establish that once we do some episodes and we find some more.
It's a horror story,
cases to cover,
isn't it?
Mm, it is. It is. And like I say, we want to be consistent, so
we really do.
We
and
are making
by the
a
way,
conscious effort.
There is so much to tell you here. I have had to really cut this down, and I mean, if I could go on for hours, I'd go on for hours because there's that much information.
Mm.
My head was fried. There's that much information to tell you about it, but we've had to cut it down, and
it might be a little three-parter.
Do you know what? I think, is this our first three-parter?
It will be, yeah.
I think it's going to have to be, and I think this case deserves to be a three-parter because there's that much information. I just think, how can I possibly squeeze it down?
Squeeze it all in, yeah.
The next part will be, it won't be a full episode, it'll literally be 15-20 minute catch up kind of thing.
Yeah, and we'll try and get that out straight away, like,
straight away.
We're going to jump onto it next, so hopefully there won't be a bigger gap at all. And yeah, we can just get going with it, but I think we'll go on to our wine. What are
Pour
you drinking?
Me a wine.
What are you drinking, our Han?
We are drinking our Christmas wine.
Yeah, so
the 40 degree heat wave.
Oh my god, yeah. So obviously it's been absolutely scorchio, Armani, but loved it. Absolutely loved every second. I'm in an office without aircon, but it's not been that bad. Like, the way the building is quite cool.
What,
do you know what
did
I mean?
You wear? Like, a tiny little
shit like this, like cycling shorts and t-shirts.
Oh,
that's all I can wear. I'm not gonna bounce around a bikini. You know what I mean? But you were sunning up in the garden. That's all.
I love the heat. But do you know what was crazy? Obviously, the UK isn't really ready for
we
it.
We are
but
pathetic. Did you see the news?
Oh, the runway melted.
Do not leave your home unless absolutely
necessary. Shut up. Tony, a bit of sun. Do you know what was mad? The runway melted. Well, haven't we got the same tarmac as Spain? Like, what about people in Thailand? What about people in Dubai? Like, we've got heat for two days.
But the thing is, our country isn't built for it, so I get it. But at the same time,
it needs to be ready.
It was a bit unnecessary, like the dramatics around it.
Oh, it was crazy. And then everyone was like, we haven't had a summer. Next minute we get two nice days. Oh my God, can't bear the heat. I was like, love, get a fan, you'll be fine.
That's just typical Brit abroad, isn't it?
That is it. So what wine are we on?
So I think we've actually already reviewed this wine, because it's very familiar.
It's the Candy Cane Christmas wine.
Yeah, so Hannah calls it the Candy Cane Christmas wine because the label's like red and green. It's quite like Art Deco, would you say?
I think we need a picture of this on our swipe.
We should do this every time, and I don't.
Why didn't we think of that?
We haven't even fully rated it. Like, some weeks we rate out of 10, some weeks we don't.
No, we need a picture of the label.
I know.
On the swipe.
But this has got dribble of red wine on it.
Right,
so.
But everyone doesn't care.
But we'll start making sure each episode we actually post the wine that we're drinking, because people have asked me which one was that, and I'm like, forgot. Two for 10 from the co-op.
Yeah, yeah.
Or from, what was it? From the garage.
From the garage.
But anyway, this is called R2C, and it's a Merlot.
It's nice, you know.
2020. And words of information about it. Smooth, ripe and soft, with rich red fruit notes and hints of plum. Oh, they always have fucking plum.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoying its own or with Italian cheese and cold meat. See, that's my bad. Cheese.
Oh, that is so
chocolate,
my bad.
Chocolate whatever it's called.
Yeah, cheese.
How many miles in the UK went, we'll have picky bits for tea in that heat.
Marksy
picky bits. Everyone's ma in that heat. Definitely defo.
Do you know what I don't like though? Plum, but I love red wine, so.
Yeah, but it's not like we eat. Yeah, I know what you mean, actually. I don't think I'd eat a plum.
Eating a pure plum.
But I don't think I would. But, and then, you know, the usual, please drink responsibly.
If anyone can hear a dog barking, that is my Bam Bam in the background.
Oh, yeah. Last episode was my boys barking, but they're a lot louder. Bam Bam's like a little, he's the size of, like, my foot.
He literally
is. And he's unreal.
He's a teacup long-haired chihuahua. And by the way, everyone, I named him after Bam.
You've said this already.
Yeah, Bam Margera Jackass. Get it right, not Flintstones. Because I hate it when people think that.
You always have to get it out there.
Shut up, Bam.
No, I do think you'll pick it up. But even if you do, enjoy a bit of art. It's fine. So, back to the episode. So, where we left off was Caroline Owens, who was Fred and Rose's nanny. Who was horrifically abused and tortured by the couple. She actually escaped and fled, told police, told the family, and it ended up in trial. Now, obviously you'd think that it would result in a different, you know, kind of outcome, but unfortunately Fred and Rose left with a £50 fine and walked free from court, which then resulted in Caroline unfortunately trying to commit suicide. So, which is such a sad part of this already horrifically sad, horrendous case. But that's where we left off. And I think it's
right
over to you.
I think it finally is over to me. After all this time of keeping you waiting for Fred and Rose part two.
Take it away, Ernie.
So.
It's going to be a bumper ride.
Harry Potter.
I always have to. Go on.
So, 3 months after the West assault trial, the couple committed their first known murder. The victim was a 19-year-old named Linda Goff. Goff? Fred and Rose got to know her through a male lodger they had in early 1973. Goff, I hope I'm saying this right.
How's it spelled?
G-O-U-G-H.
Yeah, I'd say go. Goff.
Goff.
Yeah, it's fine.
Goff regularly visited Cromwell Street, the dreaded Cromwell Street, which became infamous, and engaged in affairs with two other male lodgers. On 19th of April, she moved into the home, which was obviously a bad move. So, as we know, Fred and Rose have a lot of lodgers in and out, don't they?
Yeah, for a little sex business. Business.
On or around the 20th of April, other tenants were told that she'd been told to leave the household after she'd allegedly hit one of their children.
Right.
This story was also then repeated to Goff's mother when she contacted the West to ask where her daughter was. When Goff's dismembered body was found, the jaw was completely wrapped in adhesive and surgical tape to silence her screams.
Horrific.
And two small tubes had been inserted into her nose to allow breathing to carry on just before the death.
But then she could breathe out of her nose.
So it was like a prolonged, wasn't it? Yeah. Horrible death.
Horrific.
And we'll see a pattern with this. Long sections of string and sections of knotted fabric were also discovered within her remains.
So she was tied up and...
She went through, like, a lot of torture and hell.
Jeez.
Gough had also, it came about, she'd likely been suspended from holes that were then later carved, like we found out, they were carved into the wooden beam supporting the ceiling of the cellar. That Fred later admitted he had made these for the purpose of suspending his victims' bodies.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And his victims all kind of, it all came to,
yeah, like,
they died from strangulation and suffocation. She was found buried in a pit beneath the garage. From their later investigations, police and forensic experts came to discover that all the victims found at the cellar at 25 Cromwell Street had been murdered in this location, and that, like Gough, each... Here we go with the pattern. Each had been dismembered at this location. Five victims were murdered and buried in the cellar at Cromwell Street between November 1973 and April 1975. The first of these victims, 15-year-old Carol Ann Cooper, was abducted on the 10th of November 1973. This is so sad, by the way. Cooper lived in the Pines Children's Home in Dorchester and was abducted after spending the evening at the cinema with a boyfriend.
Oh my God.
She'd been waiting for a bus in Warndon when she vanished. When found, her face was bound with surgical tape and her arms bound with braiding cloth before she was driven to Cromwell Street. So they'd obviously got it in the car.
Got in the car. Well, however way. Probably because they were a couple.
Taped it up. And
the usual.
When it's a couple, obviously you're a bit trusting. I know.
This is the thing. Like, it's sad what happened, but it's also like... Well, I can't get my words out. It's like, you kind of don't blame them for getting away with it for so long.
Because you're a woman as well.
It's like... Ian Brady and all that, you know, we've gone through all that. Have you done that case?
No. That is to come, but that is
I feel like we've done it because we spoke about it.
I feel
it
like
so
that's going to be 10 parts.
No, I know.
The
moors,
God.
But, it's just so, like, apparent why these things
of
happen.
Of course, like, you
got
see...
Got for so long.
You see a fella, but then is birds with them, and...
you think, oh, it's a nice couple, you want to give me a lift home, it's dark, and I'm a young
course.
Girl.
Of course. So obviously they'd like gagged it up with all this tape, took her back to Cromwell Street. At the West address, Cooper was then suspended again from the wooden beams of the cellar ceiling before her abuse and her murder. So, you know, God only knows what went down there, the torture, the sexual abuse, everything. Because you've got to think these two absolutely loved it. They were pure evil, so...
And they fed off each other as well.
Yeah, they really did.
Loved each other's sick fantasies and played up to it.
So it wasn't just like a murder. Everything that went with it, the torture.
Yeah.
Oh, it was
And that's what's horrific, because you know that it weren't just like they did one thing to kill them by. It was prolonged evil torture.
So suspended her from the cellar. And same as Linda had died, again from strangulation and suffocation. She was dismembered and buried in a shallow grave in the cellar. Over the next 17 months, a further four victims between the ages of 15 and 21 were, you know, buried at Cromwell Street. They were said to have died the exact same way as the other victims, only these next four victims, the evidence in the graves with the next four victims suggested that they went through even more abuse and torture than the last.
Oh my God.
So it got worse, basically.
Escalation.
Yeah, they got like more of a taste for it. After this was another victim who was murdered, 18-year-old Junita Mott, in April 1975. After this murder, Fred decided to concrete over the entire floor of the cellar.
Well, I was going to say, you kind of have to at that point, like, you've accumulated a fair few bodies, it's going to start smelling.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously I'm not saying it like it's a logical idea, but like, it's a logical thing to do, do you know what I mean? But
so he concreted over the entire floor of the cellar, And later, no, get on this, this is so sick. He later converted the same section of the house, so the cellar, for a bedroom for his older children.
Wow.
Yeah, knowing all the horrors which lay underneath.
I imagine he went every time he put those kids to bed.
Oh my. Night, kiss, kiss. How do you, like...
Knowing that underneath the floor. I reckon, like, they must just have to be able to block it out. But then
that's sick, aren't they? Like
half me thinks, like, how can you function knowing that? Like, I'm good at blocking shit out. Like, you know, old past shit. I'm very good at blocking out. And I would never think about it ever again until I needed to. Do they do that? Or does he walk in with a semi on every time? Like, ooh. not to be, like, vulgar, no. But, like, this is what every time he's putting his kids to bed and he walks in that room, is he thinking of all the dead bodies underneath? Like, it's just horrific. Like... The energy in that room, I'm not a big
person. Oh, the energy. Sage wouldn't cut it, would it?
That's what I mean. You'd have to sage the fuck out of that room.
No, the thing is, for me, with these two, it's pure evil. I know, obviously, we cover so many evil people, but this is, like, the more and more you get into it, it's, like, how do...
But it's weird because...
As parents and everything,
It's horrible. I'm trying to think back, though, because, obviously, I know... Rose claimed sexual abuse from her father, didn't she? Like, bounce around the house all the time, and Fred had head injuries after head injuries, which, no, I know, like, you roll your eyes, but that is a known, you know,
yeah, it is with the city, yeah, it is, but
that front lobe damage, you're absolutely knackered.
Just think,
plus all the sexual things we're into, it is,
of course, yeah,
recipe for disaster, but there is that evil element for to go on for so long.
There's no empathy, no, at all. Not even for their own kids, and we'll go into that a bit more later. Fred and Rose, so that was...
Sorry about made you lose your space.
That was 1975.
Yeah.
So Fred and Rose were not known to commit any further murders till 1978. So there was actually there a 3-year gap, but okay. this is what we know of.
I was going to say, that's not known, like...
And some killers, they do have, like, a time off, don't they? What do they call
cooling
it, Kate?
Off period.
Like, a cooling off period.
Yeah.
Didn't Dharma have this?
No, he did a little bit from his first one. It was BTK.
Oh, okay. BTK had a massive
30
one.
30-year gap.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did.
So we'll cover him, but BTK...
Oh, my... He's my birthday one.
Yeah, he's your birthday.
He is my... So I was like... Like, what serial killer's my birthday one? It's friggin' BTK.
See, mine's not a serial killer. Mine's Ed Gein.
Oh my God, Ed Gein, we need
well.
To, we need to go over Ed Gein, because he's
as well.
A
but,
psycho.
BTK, Dennis Rader, Brian Torture, Kill Fella.
He's a big nonce.
He's a family annihilator one. Well, not family annihilator, because that's killing
he
your family.
He had a family and everything, and was like a nice family man.
Yeah, and his wife and daughter, I've no idea, but yeah, I'm pretty
but
sure.
Yeah, he had a massive, he did, he had a massive cooling off period.
Yeah, I'm confident it was 30 years.
I wonder
years.
Why that is, like.
But then, he got married, he had kids, he had a job. These people get set off by things, you know
and
what I mean?
And BTK was said, wasn't he, by his kids to be, like, such a nice dad.
An amazing dad, yeah.
But
anyway, so we know of this 3-year gap.
3-year gap.
Potential
so,
gap, anyway.
Yeah, potential frig knows what they were doing.
Frig.
So, 1978. We don't know if Rose took part in this next murder, but what we know is she definitely knew about it.
Okay.
So Fred murdered an 18-year-old lodger. Again, a lodger. These had so many lodgers. Do not go stay in the house.
No.
Called Shirley Robinson. Shirley was heavily pregnant at the time of her murder, which is horrendous.
Oh my God.
It is known, however, that at the time, Rose was pregnant herself. And, like, this is so weird, Kate. She would go round boasting. So, at first, in, like, the early days of Shirley being the lodger.
Yeah.
She would go round boasting to all the neighbours that Shirley was carrying Fred's baby. Fred's her fella.
See, but they were weird, though.
They were fucked.
They shared each other.
Yeah.
Didn't
she was a prosy, wasn't she?
Didn't say her dad used to visit her?
Oh, the dad used to go with her?
Yeah, that's what
and
I mean.
And he used to watch?
Yeah, that's
and
what I mean.
And him and the dad were BFFs?
So,
yeah.
I mean, it surprised me, but it also doesn't with them.
Yeah, so she used to... I mean, and this is actually a note that I made here. I'll read the note to you now. My note is, the neighbours must be baffed and they must have seen it all. Can you imagine?
Baffed.
Like, these neighbours in this Cromwell Street must have been thinking...
Well, yeah, because you've got men coming in and
in
out.
In and out.
Johns coming in every all the time.
Johns? What's Johns?
Johns is what they call, like, men who get prostitutes. Like, it's just another John.
Oh, a John.
Like, men who use brasses, basically.
Oh, well, got
sorry. Brasses is not the right term. Sex workers.
Oh, I brassed it up.
That was just...
Oh, yeah, I said that. I brassed it up. I say brasses.
You brassed it up.
I definitely don't brass it up, but you know, I say brasses as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's just a bit of a slang term, but...
Yeah.
They were having men coming in all the time, in and out. It's mad, though, because, like, I try and pitch the house. I know you can see the house, like, on Google.
You can.
But I can't, like...
It when sticks I think in about my head.
Them getting a lodger, right? If I was like, I need to lodge in a room, you kind of check everywhere else out.
So no, I know.
It must have been normal. It must have looked normal, apart from the red room with the little light outside and the key round the neck or whatever the fuck.
But then you've got fellas in and out. And
you must be onto it, yeah. But then again, we just don't know it. We weren't there at the time. But and the neighbours obviously then commented.
Do you know what? It was obviously like years ago, so I know it's... I don't know, everyone was a bit more like...
It's a different time. Yeah,
it's a different... So, okay, obviously Rose was, like, pregnant, but this girl was, like, heavily pregnant, like, obviously before she was murdered. And Rose used to go around bragging. Like, Rose was an absolute weirdo, like, let's get it right.
We've established.
Yeah, she's an absolute psycho. She'd go around bragging that Shirley was carrying Fred's baby. It's later said, now this makes so much sense... It's later said that Rose became very jealous of Shirley's, like, relationship with Fred. So they weren't having a sexual relationship or anything, but she just became jealous. Of maybe, but like...
That doesn't surprise me, because I feel like...
The attention,
or... Yeah, I feel like Rose loves attention in one way, being like, my man's with another woman, it says... But then I feel like once it gets a bit real...
She gets
actually jealous.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I can see her, like, flipping.
Me too. So she became very jealous over Shirley and didn't like her. And so this was the likely reason for the murder of her, to get rid of her.
To get rid.
And we don't know to this day whether she had any involvement or she just ordered Fred to do it.
To do it.
Her body was buried in the garden of 25 Cromwell Street. It was extensively dismembered, but no restraining devices. So this is so interesting. For me, I mean, this is just what I thought, but no restraining devices were found with these remains, making a sexual motive for this murder very unlikely, whereas every other murder was sexually a sexual motive.
Yeah, so they can control
and
them.
To me, does that not say because Rose was jealous?
Yeah.
She didn't want nothing like that. No. She just wanted to get rid of this one.
But it also makes me think that she could probably have more to do with it than...
Oh,
it lets on, because she may have just gone, right, let's just kill her.
The whole time, I think Rose was like...
No, but you know the way they were like, we're not too sure if she was involved or if she just knew. It makes me think, because there wasn't that torture element, the sexual element, it was just...
It wasn't more for like a pleasure thing, was it? It was like, I don't want Fred to have any sexual thing with it, I just want rid of her.
No, that's an interest, that makes sense.
So this is horrible, but the unborn baby had been removed when they found the body. Yeah, and several of her bones were also missing. So they didn't know where these were, and they didn't know if they were kept for trophies or what. Well, how?
And the baby's gone?
Gone, yeah, they don't know.
What?
I know, how fucking heavy is that? And she was heavily pregnant, so they've, like...
So he could have survived if...
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying they... Could it be one of their kids?
Bam bam.
Sorry, I thought...
The kids, Bam Bam West.
I literally thought you were like saying like one of the kids is called Bam Bam, but the dog's kicking off. I'm screaming.
Obviously, that's not a funny bit.
No, I know. Sorry, that was just
that's so heavy.
Interjection there.
So, the final murder that Fred and Rose are known to have committed, again, known... with a definite sexual motive, occurred on the 5th of August 1979. The victim was a 16-year-old named Alison Chambers, who'd ran away from, again, this is so sad, from a local children's home, and she became the West's live-in nanny in the middle of 1979. This is so sad again, because I feel like they're always like, well, not vulnerable people,
but that's just what people go for.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
I'm not trying to be like that, but... they see her, oh, she probably looks a bit down, yeah, she's probably
no
from that
family
room.
Or whatever.
Yeah, no one will look after her, no one will look
and
for her.
And these people, they're all lodgers, or like, they pick
like,
them
it's
up.
It's like
or...
even that woman, if she's a lodger and she's heavily pregnant, that's making me think mm-hmm. it might have been like out of wedlock. She might have been left on her own. She needs to lodge somewhere. She's vulnerable. Who's looking out for her? Mm-hmm. Who's following up where she's living? No one really. Do you know what I mean? It's a proper shame, but it's unfortunately how it works.
And it's always these like young women who obviously did trust in them to live there
but
or be the nanny.
So many men go after prostitutes and sex workers because they think no one's going to look for them. I can just kill them off. No one's asked. The police don't care.
Yeah,
like it's like the perfect victim. That's what people call it, isn't it? It's awful. Like I'm not agreeing with it, but
and again, we've said it before, but it's just the fact that it's a couple. You know, if anyone, you know, when and worked as a nanny for a couple, you think, you just wouldn't kind of
would never ever think the opposite over the, like what's going actually going on.
No. So Chambers is believed to have lived within the household for several weeks before the murder.
Right.
So only a few weeks, and Rose promised her when they first met that she was going to go and live at a gorgeous, peaceful farm that her husband owned. But obviously, that was a load of bullshit. Her body was buried in the garden of Cromwell Street, like the rest, close to a bathroom wall. Right, now the next part, do you know what? Sorry, this has just flashed into my head.
Go on.
And I haven't done any research about it, but I know it from a documentary, so I'm going to mention it. I don't know what victim it was about, so I'm actually going to find out for part three, and I'm going to mention this. There was a victim of Fred and Rose, and it was something to do with slippers.
Oh.
And,
I don't know this.
Yeah, the mum went knocking, like, looking for the daughter, who was a nanny there or something, or a lodger. And Rose opened the door in the daughter's slippers and was like, no, she went missing.
She went ages ago.
I am going to find this out. Remind me, Kate, because okay, that is just, like, literally coming to my head. Right, so I'm going to go a bit into, like, this is a warning, by the way.
I mean, we probably should have done our warning at the beginning.
No. This is like warning. A sexual abuse
warning
within the family. So I'm going to go a little bit into the kids now.
But I was going to say, sorry, I'm choking. I feel like the kids were involved with it.
Yeah, so this is all going on, but then there's also stuff going on at home. So I want to kind of go into that, but this is heavy, so... If you don't like it,
skip a few minutes.
I'm just warning you. So Heather and Mae West became the main kind of focus on Fred's abuse within the household. And as the girls obviously became teens and stuff, it got worse and worse.
Yeah.
I did discuss, like, in part one a little bit about, like, the horrific abuse. Like, I did go into detail and it was horrible to even read. Like, she was laughing and stuff while it was happening. She loved it, let's be honest.
Yeah.
This is a fucking mother, do you know what I mean? Like, I just...
And it's bad because I'm not a mother, so I can see it, how horrific it is. I can't imagine, like, you as a mother.
No. Like, I just can't even, like, there's no words for it. It's, like, disgusting how she could, you know, your babies, you're meant to protect them. And, I mean, for her, it's not even protect them. I feel like she's more, not more in it than he is, but she absolutely loves it and eggs it on. Like, it just makes
those
me
sick. Those kids are part of her. Like,
oh, my God. These poor kids, I just don't know. Like, they obviously don't ever deserve to have these kids, but these poor kids, what they must have seen and gone through. So, like I said, all this was going on in Cromwell Street, but then there was so much going on behind closed doors, so... Yeah, Heather and Mae West, as they were becoming like teenagers, and obviously from kids as well, but as they were coming into teenagers, it was getting worse and worse. Fred's answer for it was, well, I made you so I can do what I like with you. Which, again, what the fuck. He later admitted as well, when questioned, he wanted to get both of his daughters pregnant by him at least one time. He would force all of his children to watch porn with him. Stephen, the boy, was a very close age to Heather and Mae, and was also informed that when he was 17, he would have to have sex with his mother, Rose.
Oh, Oh my god.
I mean, it's just pure redneck. It's like.
I mean, I do remember if that's it. Like, I'm offended people are saying redneck bullshit, but I'm thinking, like, you know what you typically think from, like, in, like, the films where, like, you think of those, like, hillbilly families.
And how mad that this, like. I mean, again, like, for me to say this about England, it sounds like I'm thinking other places, this happened in England, what the fuck?
Like, I know we kind of, not expect it, but when we go, like, oh, this family, you know, incest family, when I say incest family, I think you immediately think of, like...
The Hills Have Eyes.
Yes, like, proper old, like, in America.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Dead rural areas where there's no one about in the old, like, my mother, brother, my
auntie. Yeah, of course, like, horror film.
Yeah, and that's what you think of, and you don't think, like, in fucking...
Like, how, I mean, honestly, I keep saying you can't put into words, but there's no words to, I can't even explain how evil that is, I can't even think it with words. Also, Stephen, the brother, I haven't got a lot of notes on it, but I did read that he would come up with plans with the two girls to, like, he'd try and stay in a room with them if he knew Fred was around so that they wouldn't get raped, or the girls would try and shower when Fred was out, like, to avoid anything like that. Like, it was horrible. So them kids have been through, like...
Hell.
Right, listen to this. May has written... I have not read it, but she has written an autobiography.
Stop.
May West. And it's out... And it explains all the details of everything she witnessed as a kid and the abuse she went through and her sister and mother and everything in the household.
Need to read it.
Can you, like, I know, I actually really want to read this. So she's written an autobiography that just, like, Mae West, you have lived, that is mad, you've been through some.
Because I always thought, like, you often think when these cases come out, like, where's the family now?
That's it, yeah.
Like, what are they doing? Obviously, they all go into hiding.
Yeah,
probably
change
the names, like. Obviously, this girl has probably found a lot of therapy in, like... Like, she's probably found, like, therapeutic and freeing to, like, tell her story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mad that I have not even heard about that.
Yeah, she's written an autobiography. I know, me too, definitely. So, Heather, the other daughter, Fred really took a dislike into her, by the way. He often referred to Heather as being ugly and a bitch. If Heather ever went to her mother for help, Rose would just laugh at it. And also, Fred and Rose decided, just for no reason at all, that they called Heather a lesbian. For no reason, they just wanted to...
Humiliate her.
Yeah, because at the time, obviously, that was like a...
Ooh. Yeah, that would have been very, like, frowned upon at the time. So yeah. So, like, you're a lesbian.
So they called her a lesbian, they called her ugly, they called her a bitch. They just ripped her, basically. So Heather was obviously in school and she had a lot of friends, and she did actually, so this must come out, I think May in her autobiography, she wrote a lot about how Heather was feeling and stuff. Heather did confide in some of her best friends in school about the abuse that was going on at home, and staff at the school, of all the kids, they were all in the same school, they also did express concern over... Heather's behaviour, because she was a really good student, but she started to, like, not obey, like, not orders, but obey
rules,
that's it. She wouldn't listen.
But she's just acting out, which is absolutely
understandable. She wouldn't listen, she wouldn't, like, and she started becoming funny about getting changed in front of people, and, you know, obviously, as you can imagine. And when she did have a shower and stuff in PE, the staff did notice her entire body was, like, permanently covered in bruises.
But isn't it mad, though, like, they're seeing a whole body covered in bruises, they're seeing all this, and what action was made?
What action,
But then again, like, it's back in the times, it's, we don't talk about that hush-hush, you know?
Yeah. By the mid-1980s, rumours of Rose's mad sex life started, like, seeping in through a few of the kids' school friends as well, so it was, like, hitting the school. Heather did admit to a few of her very close friends that the rumours were true, and when Fred found out about this, that Heather had, like,
told people,
he started to panic, so he started escorting her to and from school. He wouldn't let her go, like, because he was obviously shitting one by now.
Yeah, for sure.
When Heather left school in 1986, she applied for loads and loads of jobs, like, bless her, she needed to get out of Cromwell Street. And she actually had a job that came up, and there was like loads of hope that she'd get this job because she was desperately trying to get away. But the siblings actually have said in like interviews and biography and all that autobiography since and stuff, she was so gutted because she really thought she'd got this job and it, like, you know, she could get out of there. And she was heard crying by the whole family sitting in a room one night because she didn't get the job. And then the next day, the brothers and sister come back from school and Heather's gone. So they're like to mum and dad, where's Heather gone? And they're like, oh, well,
she got the job. The,
she did get the job, you know, the job's come back in touch. And they think, well, this is weird. She's been crying all night. She didn't get the job. And as time's gone by and by, Heather's just disappeared. And, you know, they did stick together. Like I said earlier, they were all like, they knew what each other was going through. And they really, they were of a similar age. Like, they did help each other out and whatever, you know, through that horrible time. Time and time, and buying the kids has asked, like, where is Heather and why hasn't she been in contact?
Can we not get in touch with her,
And Fred and Rose made up a stupid lie and just said she'd eloped with a lesbian lover. It became years then from Heather's disappearance, and Fred would make, like, this, it's a famous joke now, threaten to the children, well, you know, on documentaries and stuff, this will always stick in my head. If they ever played up or, you know, told anyone outside the family, outside the household of the shit or mistreatment they were going through, if they ever misbehaved, he would say, you'll end up under the patio like Heather. So this is what he'd say to them. Now, this is like, it's not a true fact, but it's meant to be. Where Heather was actually found, Fred and Rose set, I'm going to tell you about whereabouts he was found now. But they are meant to have put a dining table outside and let their kids eat on that every day above her grave.
Wow.
And then constantly make jokes about her being buried under the patio. When it came to questioning, right, this is a bit of a paragraph, by the way, but I asked this writer. When it later came to questioning about Heather, this is Fred's words. So I said to Rose, so anyway, so this is obviously, sorry, I'm buttoning on my own
You're
buttoning on yourself. I'm buttoning on myself, but this is, so in questioning, this is Fred's statement of what he said to Rose about Heather, where Heather's gone. Rose, so anyway, you'll have to tell me exactly what happened. She says Heather was all cut up. Well, I felt ill for a few seconds, a few minutes before I could get to grips with myself again. And I said, what on earth did you cut her up for? She said she wouldn't fit in the dustbin. Now, that's the thing that makes it hard, that she cut Heather up and chucked her in the fucking dustbin, her daughter in a dustbin. That is Fred's, like,
so he's putting it all
quote,
on her.
Quote, unquote. Well, for Heather, yeah. And basically, that is but it's his
interesting,
quote.
But it's interesting, though, like, he's putting the blame on her, but he was one that was panicking about her speaking about it
yeah.
to school.
And later on, he covers up. He tries, well, he tries to cover up for Rose and take it all on himself. But how mad is that you chucked it in a fucking dustbin?
Wow. The fact that she said she wouldn't fit. I can just imagine. Well, like, I can't. But like,
what the hell?
It's not the vibe.
And by the way, again, something I should have wrote down and I haven't. Not long ago, I think it might have been a year ago or something, there was, I don't know, it was Channel 5, Channel 4. I'll put it in the notes. Well, Kate will. Fred West, there was the unreleased tapes wasn't there?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
all these kind of quotes. And I remember watching it where he just spilled it out. It was his full, like, confession And it wasn't that long ago when we got the tapes, because I remember seeing that, like,
and it was like, unheard of.
I was like, you're lying. They finally released Fred West tapes.
When they do stuff like that, like, so many years later, like, we get permission to release them, yeah.
Yeah, to, like, his exact account on it, and he was so calm, like a dharma, like, he was so calm, and he told us everything, you know, like, this was one of his...
But I always still think to take a bit with a pinch of salt, because... Yes, Rose probably did do it, but I don't think they ever acted alone.
Oh my god, no!
But the way he's like, why did you do that? Why did you do that? And she's like, well, no. You know, they defo, but anyway, it's by the by now, but it's awful.
I mean, they're both as bad as each other, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure.
So, back to obviously before, I was fast forwarding a little bit there. So, before anyone, you know, was still with Heather's disappearance, where is she? But obviously we know she's dead by this time.
Yeah.
With Heather's disappearance and Fred and Rose constantly changing the story now, whereabouts were like, it was just always
it's people asking consistent. Oh, she's not, doing this.
And there were so many things like with the West that just weren't consistent, and it ultimately led to the police inquiries. And a search warrant was finally issued to evacuate... No, sorry, to excavate the West Garden in February 1994. So, this is where...
That was the year after I was born.
Oh. This, for me, is where it sticks in my head, them documentaries of, like, you see the house on the corner, and then you see, like... It all cordoned off in the news, and they're all like,
yeah. Because I was, it was funny when you were doing this episode. I said to mum and dad, I was like, do you remember that? And they were like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, because it started so early.
I would have been four, so I was like, obviously, I can't remember that.
But yeah, no, I was just saying I remember, but no, I was saying I remember my mum and dad being like, oh my god, yeah, it was like breaking news, it was all everyone could talk about, and that. And my mum even said, like, what you said, like, that picture of the house always stays in it.
That corner
house, yeah.
Where I've been a true crime, Ed, that it's that house, and it's been knocked down now.
Yeah.
And even, you know, the way you said before, the energy of that. Even the energy of where the house was must be just grim.
Yeah,
like,
awful.
It must just be hell.
And I just think you can't even...
You can't even live on that roof.
Because obviously things happen in houses all the time that you don't know about, like deaths, murders, whatever. But something like that, they could never build on that again.
Never.
And it's just too much.
Never.
Too much has happened there.
And it's always, for me, like, I'm about to go in, the famous where the police go in and... They thought they were going in for one murder, but it became a house of horrors.
Yeah, and going, it kept
you
going.
Seen them just coming out of the garden, didn't
body
you?
With bags. Like,
body bags. So, this was February 1994, and 11:15 that morning, Fred formally admitted to police he had indeed killed his daughter in an act of manslaughter.
Right.
He confessed to strangling Heather in a fit of rage. But then he dismembered her body in the ground floor bathroom with a heavy serrated knife he normally used for cutting slabs of frozen meat. Her remains had been stored in a dustbin as he waited for an opportunity to dig her a grave. Fred was insistent his wife had no knowledge of his daughter's murder, but what I'd read earlier... This comment had obviously come later on.
Yeah, later on he's then gone, well, actually...
Because, like I said, he did try for a while to keep Rose completely out of everything. And that's what we're going to go into fully in part three. But that little statement, I had to just fit in there because it was crazy. But at this point, he was taking it all here on the chin. His wife had no knowledge of his daughter's murder... And then he committed this murder while Rose was preoccupied with one of her clients in the Red Room. Adding to the fact the search team had not even yet unearthed Heather's remains because they'd been excavating the wrong section of his garden. He then volunteered to accompany the police to pinpoint the precise location of Heather's body. And this was obviously, I think at this point he was thinking, look, I need to admit it.
Yeah.
I need to pinpoint where the body is because there's like a million other bodies.
I was
going to
say, he's probably thinking, if I do that, they'll just dig there.
And exactly.
Whereas if they dig everywhere else, they're going to discover a bit.
He's shitting one. He's thinking, all right, there's the body. Go on, do me for that.
Yeah, but manslaughter, like, I'll get a few years. Yeah.
Exactly. The following day, police began digging up the garden of Cromwell Street. Shortly after 4 p.m, police found a human thigh bone sticking out from a section of the garden that Fred had said they need not look in.
Wow.
So I think then they started thinking, right, hang on a minute, yeah. If he knew there was a body there.
Being on that, like, force.
Do you know what?
Like, being a sat, right, today you're digging up a garden in Cromwell Street.
There's a body there.
We think there might be a body. Sound okay. We dig. Oh, you said not to dig yet. Well, there's this thigh bone sticking out.
Do you know what? I'd love to, like, hear something from, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, someone like talking like that. And went in there,
thinking. I don't know. Like, I always thought I'd love that job. And then I thought, when I've looked into it, it's obviously mad because you deal with, like, non-crimes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, like, very rare you never come across a case like this. Imagine being on shift like, that day and being like, wow.
Think, you know, okay, like you said, there's a body, a potential body, but then there's a house of horrors. Like, this is as well, I was saying this earlier when I'd just done the thing for it and I was saying to mum and dad again, like, I haven't actually asked my mum and dad, do you remember it? But I'm going to ask them because this is crazy. Sure. Like, this is actually, like, insane, isn't it?
No.
It's like unheard of shit.
Gacy, John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yeah.
The 30 bodies.
What? It's like,
I think, a 33. I think he killed 33.
In the crawl space.
In the crawl space, but there was some in, like, a little hut by a lake or something, I believe. But I'm sure they found, like, 26 or something ridiculous. They just kept finding them and finding them. And they were like, oh, there's another one.
It's just insane. Awful. It's like, it goes down in massive history. Like, it's insane.
Forever.
So they found this thigh bone. So excavating the section of the garden where Fred had indicated he buried the daughter's body, investigators discovered a mass grave of jumbled human remains encased in leftover bits of a bin bag and intertwined with two lengths of rope. These dismembered remains were taken to the police headquarters for further examination, where they were determined to be those of a young woman with one kneecap and several fingers missing. The fingernails were discovered in a pile, so they were off, suggesting that they may have been torn from her fingers as a means of torture.
That goes through my entire
soul.
So
all the fingernails were in a pile next to the body. Several hours later, the body was identified via dental records as Heather West.
Wow.
So they, like, brutally tortured their daughter. Yeah.
Fucked.
That evening, having been formally charged with his daughter's murder and questioned as to why, police had also discovered a third thigh bone. Fred confessed that there were two further sets of human remains in his garden and agreed for them to return to Cromwell Street to reveal the locations of both graves, and he was going to help them find the graves. Both sets of remains were discovered on the 28th of February, and Fred was charged with both the murders 2 days later. After discovering three sets of human remains in the garden, a decision was made to thoroughly, like, shut it down. Search the entire house. We're finding more and more here. Shut the house down. You can, and like I've said here in a little note, you can see all this, like, famous kind of
footage
on documentaries and stuff. So at this time, Rose was placed in a safe house in a nearby town called Dursley. That's Harry Potter, reminds me of Harry Potter.
Men and Dursley.
Dudley Dursley. So she was placed in a safe house in a nearby town of Dursley while the police did the big extensive search. Fred was questioned day on day day upon day for 16-hour days until he later confessed to 9 more murders, which he wrote in a note and gave it to his solicitor. To pass on, so he confessed to 9 more murders. Questioned further to these claims, Fred calmly explained there were a further 5 bodies buried in his cellar and a 6th body buried beneath the ground floor bathroom. Most of these victims, Fred claims, had been hitchhikers or girls he had murdered in the 1970s.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
After picking them up at bus stops, Fred claimed that these 6 victims had been killed when they threatened to inform Rose of him, like, carrying on with the women. But we all know this wasn't
true.
That
she was obviously involved.
They were loving it and they were in on it together. He also said he'd then transported their bodies to Cromwell Street to abuse them, dismember them and bury them in shallow graves. The dismemberment, Fred claimed, had made it easier to bury the remains in shallow cubical graves, and he agreed to return to Cromwell Street once again to indicate
where they were.
Precisely where he'd buried each victim. So yeah, I think for me, I'm going to definitely listen to that thing again. I'm sure it was Channel 5, the Fred West tapes, because after doing all this, like, I need to listen to all that again. It's crazy. Between the 5th and 8th of March, my birthday's on the 9th.
I love that we always bring it back to ourselves. Like, why does it matter? Like,
I don't know. It's like the day before I was born.
Yeah, like, why do we do that?
Between the 5th and 8th of March, police found 6 further bodies of young females at 25 Cromwell Street. Each victim had been extensively mutilated, and each body had evidence of being subject to extreme sexual abuse prior to the murder. The 3rd set of remains discovered in the cellar was found with lengths of cloth wrapped around the skull and an oval of adhesive tape 16 inches found within the remains had likely been used to gag the victim by the ankles and wrists, where they were also bound with a large section of rope. Also found in this grave was a large serrated knife. The 2nd set of remains was found with a section of tubing twisted in a U-shape alongside his severed limbs, and his skull was found encased in adhesive tape which had been wrapped around the section where her face had been 11 or 12 times, so like really tight.
Wow.
With, again, narrow plastic tubes inserted into the nose in an effort to allow her to carry
so
on breathing.
And they've put tape around 12 times
and then
covered the whole face and just left.
So she could still be alive. So it's to prolong the life with, like, extensive torture. Each body was found with missing bones and several fingers missing, but Fred always refused to locate these parts. And that is actually where I'm going to leave it. But,
no, don't stop.
The next bit is to go into all about Rose, question mark.
How
could she not know? We're obviously...
So she's now chilling in a safe house thinking, he's taking the rap. He probably pre-discussed it. He's like, you know, if it comes on me, I'll
he's
take the
back in his beds at the end of the day.
No, but still, like, how... Obviously, the police... It takes time for them to gather all the facts and gather all the evidence, and then they will very quickly realise themselves that she is fully to blame and is part of it.
Like,
but it makes me laugh the way, like, they think that this will work.
Like, you lived in this house and you did not have a clue that there was all these murders and all these bodies.
And buried under your bathroom.
And your kids weren't suffering.
That's what I mean. Like, I get it. Like, with, like we said with Dennis Rader, he had a wife and, pardon me, a wife and daughter. He didn't do anything at home.
They were, like, separate.
Separate. So I get that. I get people can have a double life.
Yeah, me too.
She's high as a kite if she's like, oh, I don't know, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're in this little house.
Yeah, I don't know why. You
and you had the slippers on, bitch. Yeah, you had the victim's slippers on.
Asshole.
I'm going to find out about this slippers. But, yeah, it's just... So, the next episode, because this is so long and I could have gone on and on, the next episode's going to go into Rose, how she kind of got caught, what she admitted to, the trial, and then obviously, like, the prison, life in prison, and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, the next episode will be rounded up in about 20 minutes, but it just would have been...
Too long, yeah.
So long. But, yeah, this is one of the, you know, England's most horrific... We've got the Moors as well, which we definitely will go into. But
for sure.
It's again these couples. I mean,
can't believe you're leaving it there, though.
It's I'm on the mad. It's the edge of your seat. This is like a cliffhanger, and yet this is one of the UK's biggest ever horror stories, like that we've ever seen
ever.
So,
well, you know what, fellas. That is why
you don't talk to strangers and definitely don't be lodgers and don't go and be nannies and hitchhike for couples.
No, like, even if the couples still do your due diligence.
Look all cute, like, Rose with the glass of wool. I'm not saying she looks cute, she's evil, but, you know, all, like, innocent.
Come across, like, a little, mummy, you know, nice mumsy. Yeah.
No, hon.
Do your due diligence, like, don't trust anyone.
And don't talk to fucking strangers.
Honestly. But... thank you, Hannah, that was unreal.
Woo! And we'll see you back for part 3 where I finally wrap this case up.
I know, and then it's my turn. Woo! I'm going to do as well, so I'm going to get your research
together.
But don't forget to follow us on Instagram, which is Don't Talk to Strangers Podcast. We've got a Twitter, which is DTTS Poddy.
I like that bit, Poddy.
What else have we got? We have got a Facebook, I think. Oh, I can't even remember now. That's just Don't Talk to Strangers Podcast.
Yeah.
We've got an email if you want to email us for any, I don't know, just email us because we like receiving emails. We don't really read them out, but we will start doing that. Email us, which is don'ttalktostrangerspod@gmail.com. And, yeah, you listen to us on Spotify, Apple, rate us, be nice.
We love you.
We love you. And that's it.
Happy nightmares.
Bye.
Bye.